Imagine you're in a heated argument. Alcohol's involved. And then a gun enters the picture. Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, definitely a bad combination.
But what if the person holding the gun, what if they didn't actually mean to pull the trigger?
Right.
Could someone still be held responsible, like criminally responsible for what happens?
Hmm.
Well, that's exactly the question at the heart of this case, State v. Beer.
Okay.
And today, we are diving deep into this case and all the legal stuff around it.
This is a case that really all comes down to gross negligence.
Right.
Which is fascinating in Montana law, you know? And it really forces us to kind of, like, think about where that line is.
Yeah.
Where's that line between a really terrible accident and when something becomes criminal?
That's a great question. So, to get us started, can you set the scene for us?
Sure.
What happened?
Okay. So it's June 25th, 1977. We've got Richard and Sharon Bear. They're coming home after a night out. And they've both had quite a bit to drink, Sharon especially. An argument starts, and like you said, things take a very dark turn. Richard, in a moment of anger, grabs a loaded .357 Magnum.
Oh, wow.
And he doesn't just grab it, he cocks it, throws it on the bed, and actually dares Sharon to shoot him. And what's really important here is that this particular gun, when it's cocked, it only takes a tiny amount of pressure on the trigger to fire, something between 2.5 and 3.5 pounds of pressure.
So very easy to fire.
Yeah. Incredibly easy to fire.
Oh, man.
And then to make matters worse, Sharon, who, again, we know is very intoxicated, she picks up the gun, puts it to her head with both her thumbs on the trigger. Tragically, as Richard tries to kind of step in and intervene, the gun goes off.
Wow. So that's the incident. So then how did they even determine or how did they decide to charge Richard with negligent homicide?
Well, this is where it gets a little tricky. So the forensic evidence, things like gunshot residue tests, they couldn't actually say for sure who pulled the trigger.
Okay.
So then the question is, okay, well, then how do we proceed?
Right.
And that's where the idea of this gross deviation comes into play.
Okay.
Montana law on negligent homicide. To get a conviction, you need to prove that the defendant, in this case, Richard, his actions were so far outside of what a reasonable person would do, a major departure. And this is important because this goes way beyond just being careless.
Right.
This isn't like, oh, I spilled my coffee on you. I'm so sorry. This is a different level of negligence.
Gotcha. So it sounds like they were basically saying that he created the situation that led to her death.
That's exactly right. And the court's decision really focused on that.
Okay.
Justice Shea, who wrote the majority opinion, made three kind of key arguments to support Richard's conviction.
Okay. Let's hear them. What were they?
Okay, so the first one was this idea of foreseeability. The court basically said, look, if you hand a loaded cocked gun to someone who's drunk in the middle of an argument, you're creating a risk that any reasonable person would say, whoa, that's really dangerous, you know? It was totally foreseeable that something really bad could happen.
So they're saying, even though he might not have wanted her to shoot herself, like, he should have known that was a possibility.
Exactly. Given the whole context, it's like, come on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the other 2 points?
Okay, so the second argument had to do with causation.
Okay.
So they said, okay, we don't know for sure that Richard pulled the trigger, but BUT, his actions, were what they called the cause in fact of her death.
Right.
So their reasoning was basically, if the gun hadn't been on the bed in the first place, then none of this would have happened.
Okay.
Right. And it was Richard's choice to bring the gun into the situation, you know, all heated and everything.
Right.
That's what set everything in motion. And the third argument, that focuses on Richard's specific actions. So cocking the gun, throwing it on the bed, it's almost like he was challenging her, right? And the court said those actions by themselves were such a departure from how a reasonable person should act.
Right.
That right there met the gross deviation standard they needed for the negligent homicide conviction.
So basically, even though we don't know for sure who pulled the trigger,
right,
the things that he did leading up to it were enough to say that he was criminally negligent.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm. That seems, I guess, kind of straightforward, but I imagine there were some complexities to the case, too.
Oh, absolutely. There were some procedural issues that added a whole other layer.
Okay. Like what?
Well, for example, the defense, they wanted the jury to actually see the trailer where it happened.
Okay.
They thought it would help them understand the layout, visualize everything better.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the court denied that request.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So they couldn't actually see the space where it happened?
No, not in person.
Huh. Do they have any experts testify in the case?
Yeah. The defense also wanted to bring in a ballistics expert. someone who could talk about bullet angles and stuff, which they thought could have really changed how people understood what went down.
Right.
But again, the court said, nope, not necessary.
Wow. So the jury never got to hear from a ballistics expert.
That's right.
Yeah.
They decided the jury had enough to go on without it.
Huh. Interesting. What about the closing arguments? Anything stand out from those?
Well, there was one comment from the prosecutor that caught everyone's attention. He talked about playing Russian roulette.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the defense obviously jumped on that. They argued it was, like, super prejudicial, you know, that it could unfairly sway the jury.
Right.
But ultimately, the court said it wasn't enough to warrant a whole new trial.
Wow. So despite all of that legal back and forth, they still convicted him based on his negligence.
Yeah.
Okay. So this can't just be about the specifics of this case, right? Like, what are the bigger implications here? What can we learn from State v. Beer?
Yeah, you're right. This is about way more than just Richard and Sharon. One of the key takeaways here is how this case really broadens how we understand responsibility for what we call enabling acts.
Okay. Enabling acts.
Yeah. So even if the victim, in this case, Sharon, contributes to their own death, you know, picks up the gun.
Right.
The court is saying, hold on, let's look at whether the defendant, Richard, created the dangerous situation in the first place.
Okay, I'm following you.
So think of it this way, right? Let's say you've got a friend who's had way too much to drink.
Uh-huh.
And you hand them your car keys.
Okay, yeah.
If they cause an accident, you're probably not legally responsible for their DUI.
Right.
But State v. Beer suggests that if you hand them a loaded gun and something terrible happens, well, you could face criminal charges.
Oh, wow.
Even if you didn't actually pull the trigger yourself. The court is basically saying creating the conditions for a deadly act can be just as bad as directly committing the act.
So it's not just about your actions. It's about how your actions could affect what someone else might do.
Right.
Especially if they're, you know, not thinking straight or they're in a vulnerable position.
Exactly. And it's really making us rethink where the line is between holding someone accountable and recognizing that sometimes accidents just happen. That's a really complex question, right? Where do we draw that line? And I think those are some of the questions we should explore more in the next part.
Definitely. I'm already thinking about all the scenarios where this could apply. This case is really making us think about the impact of our choices and the responsibility we all share to prevent harm.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a lot more to unpack here, especially when it comes to the legal and ethical implications of this case. So let's dig into that more when we come back for part two. It's really interesting, you know, how State v. Beer kind of forces us to think differently about guilt, you know? Like, it's not always black and white.
Right. Like, usually we think, okay, someone committed a crime, they meant to do something wrong. But Beer is saying, well, sometimes just not being careful enough, just not seeing the potential for harm, that can be just as bad, and the law needs to look at that.
Exactly, and that's where that idea of foreseeability we talked about, that's where it gets super important. The court was basically saying Richard didn't have to, like, consciously want Sharon to die. It was enough that, given the situation, he should have known better. Like, putting a loaded gun, already cocked, right there next to someone who's drunk in the middle of a fight, come on.
Yeah, you can't just say, oh, I didn't think that would happen.
Right. And that's where it gets tricky, right? Because we hear all those stories, I didn't think it was loaded or the safety was on, but this case is saying, nope, especially when you're dealing with something as dangerous as a gun, you got to be extra careful. You can't just plead ignorance.
The law is holding you to a higher standard.
Exactly. There's a certain level of responsibility that comes with handling a weapon like that.
Okay, so zooming out a bit from the specifics of this case, what kind of message do you think State v. Beer sends to society?
I think it's a powerful message about responsibility. It's saying we all have a duty to prevent harm that we can see coming, especially when it comes to dangerous stuff like guns. It's not just about what I do. It's about thinking, okay, what might someone else do, especially if they're drunk or upset or not thinking straight.
So, like, a higher duty of care when things are already kind of volatile.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when there's alcohol involved or people are fighting or things could escalate quickly, you gotta be extra cautious.
And in this case, the court was saying that just removing the gun from the situation, that alone could have prevented everything.
Right. If Richard hadn't brought that gun into the mix, who knows what would have happened, but it definitely wouldn't have ended the way it did.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought. I'm curious, what about the legal community? How did they react to this case?
Oh, it definitely made some waves. State v. Beer has been cited in tons of cases since then, not just in Montana, but in other states too. It's had a big influence, especially in cases with similar situations, you know, drinking, arguments, and guns. People are still talking about it, debating it.
So it's not just a legal precedent. It's like it's shaped how we think about these kinds of situations.
Yeah, totally. It's like a wake-up call. It's saying, hey, those reckless choices you're making, they can have real tragic consequences.
It makes you think twice, right?
Yeah.
Like it really blurs the lines between an accident and something criminal. Where does one end and the other begin?
And that question you asked before about what if Sharon hadn't been drinking, that's a big one.
Yeah, would things have been different? Would the court have still held Richard responsible?
It's a tough question. Some people say, well, Sharon's drinking was a key factor. She wasn't thinking clearly. But others say, no, Richard's actions alone were reckless enough. It doesn't matter what state of mind Sharon was in.
It's a really tricky situation to untangle legally and ethically. I mean, it's a hypothetical, but it gets to the heart of how we decide who's to blame.
That's why this case is so fascinating. It's not just about the law. It's about human behavior and motivations and accountability and all those gray areas that are hard to define.
And it makes me think the law isn't just about punishing people after something bad has happened. It's also about setting standards, like you were saying, about holding people to a certain level of care so we can prevent these tragedies in the first place.
Right. It's about saying, hey, we expect more from you.
Yeah, well said. Well, it feels like we've only just scratched the surface of this case. I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into State v. Beer for today.
It's been a really thought-provoking conversation, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And for our listeners, we hope you got a better understanding of this case, and maybe it even got you thinking about your own ideas about negligence, responsibility, and all that.
Because, like we said, the law is a living thing. It's always evolving. And it's our job, all of us, to keep it moving in the right direction, to make sure it's protecting us all.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to leave it for now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and keep diving deep. As we wrap up our deep dive on State v. Beer, I keep finding myself coming back to the ripple effects of this whole thing, especially for us in the legal field.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It really makes you think about some fundamental stuff like how we even define guilt. Where does personal responsibility begin and end?
And you touched on this earlier, but it seems like there are some big implications here for lawyers, particularly those who deal with negligence, criminal liability, all that.
Definitely. For lawyers, this case is a huge reminder that foreseeability, that's not just some fancy legal term, it has real consequences. Like when you're building a case or giving advice to a client, you got to think about the bigger picture, not just the immediate actions, but all the things that led up to that moment.
So you're saying lawyers need to connect the dots, show how one seemingly small choice could have set off this chain reaction leading to something really bad happening.
Exactly. And State v. Beer, it gives us a roadmap for how to do that. It's all about showing that direct link between what the defendant did and the harm that resulted, even if they didn't intend for that harm to happen.
It's like that old saying, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. You know, one little thing can lead to a whole disaster.
That's perfect. In this case, the missing nail was Richard not realizing how dangerous it was to bring a loaded gun into that situation. It was tense already. And then he adds that element, that one decision, that negligence, boom, it sets off everything that follows.
It really drives home the point that what we do or don't do can have huge consequences, maybe even bigger than we realize at the time.
Absolutely. And that's why people are still talking about this case all these years later. It's like a warning sign, a reminder that we got to be mindful of our choices, especially when we're dealing with dangerous things.
And it also shows how important lawyers are in making sure justice is served, holding people accountable, making sure the law protects everyone.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This is a case every law student, every lawyer should really dive into. It's not just about the legal technicalities. It's about bigger questions, ethical questions, things we should all be thinking about.
Well said. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into State v. Beer. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners out there in the legal world?
As we've been talking about, State v. Beer shows us how important it is to really understand the ins and outs of negligence, foreseeability, all that. It's a powerful case that shows how even small choices can have huge, lasting consequences. We all need to remember that.
It's been a really fascinating conversation, to say the least. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive gave you some good insights into this case and maybe even got you thinking about your own ideas about negligence, responsibility, and how it all fits into the law. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and keep diving deep.